This is the Aspen Public Radio Newscast. I'm your host, Megan Tackett, here with your top stories this Tuesday. Housing affordability was a recurring theme during last night's forum for Basalt Town Council candidates. Elise Hoddle has dealt with the issue personally. She said she stepped away from the council after her first term in 2024 because her housing situation became uncertain.
I was living in affordable housing, and I was going to have too high an income to stay there. And yet, didn't feel like I could find anything in the community at a market rate that I could afford because I'm just a normal working person.
Hoddle said her experiences motivated her to help launch the West Mountain Regional Housing Coalition, a nonprofit addressing housing affordability from Aspen to Parachute. Incumbent council member Angela Anderson said she's been working to loosen restrictions on ADUs, or accessory dwelling units. Anderson suggested the town create a down payment assistance fund.
If we offered qualified buyers a $50,000 low interest loan repaid at sale, that money could get, we could get 20 families into homes, and then we could do it again and again and again.
Also in the running are Benjamin Firestein and Greg Schaffrin. The four candidates are competing for three open seats in the April 7th election. An Aspen-based nonprofit has launched a cash prize for efforts to reduce methane emissions. The powerful greenhouse gas is up to 80 times as potent as CO2. That's according to MIT. Climate Curve founder Jacqueline Francis says curbing methane emissions can act like an emergency brake on global warming.
This could give us more time to actually move past some of the other really more embedded systems that we have in our world. Methane is kind of like the parachute we need right now to slow down our trajectory.
Climate Curve, formerly the Global Warming Mitigation Project, has awarded almost $3 million to climate innovators over the last decade. But this year, the nonprofit has a new prize. It's focused specifically on projects reducing methane emissions from food systems. Eligible projects include anything having to do with the way food is grown, transported, and thrown away. The contest is especially relevant to ranching areas like the Roaring Fork Valley, since cows and their digestive systems are a primary source of man-made methane emissions. In statewide news, the Democratic and Republican parties in Colorado are holding precinct caucuses this week. Party members discuss which candidates they want on their party's primary ballot, and they select delegates to advance to the county assembly. Party members also elect precinct organizers and help recruit election judges and poll watchers. The caucus is just one pathway to the June primary ballot. Candidates can also qualify by gathering signatures from voters. Barb Winery is co-director of voter services for the Colorado League of Women Voters. She says caucuses are great opportunities for eligible party members to participate in grassroots democracy.
Precincts are a really important component of this whole election process. You feel I'm just not a number. My precinct is my neighborhood around me. Those are the people that, you know, we have things in common because we live in the same place. It's grassroots, and I think we've got to start getting people back together and building community, and I think this whole caucus process is a way to do that.
Delegates chosen at precinct caucuses advance to county assemblies held between now and March 28th. From there, some delegates move on to the state assembly. Both the Democrats and Republicans are hosting their state assemblies in Pueblo. The Democrats hold theirs on March 28th, and the Republicans hold their state assembly on April 11th. To participate in a caucus, you must be registered with the party at least 22 days before the caucus. Lawyers working on behalf of immigrants continue to fight with the federal government about how ICE detains people in Colorado. CPR's Allison Sherry has more.
At issue are so-called field arrests, which the Department of Homeland Security says they conduct sometimes when they come upon an undocumented immigrant they weren't looking for. This means they arrest and detain someone and then get warrants in the field. But the ACLU and other attorneys representing a handful of immigrants who are detained without warrants say it's a violation of federal law. They say filling out a warrant after the fact doesn't change that they detained the person without authorization in the first place. A federal judge will hear arguments about this in March. I'm Allison Sherry, CPR News.
Colorado's congressional delegation is split in its reaction to the U.S. and Israel's attack on Iran over the weekend. For the Colorado Capital News Alliance, Kyle McKinnon reports the strikes are fueling debate over presidential war powers.
Colorado Republicans praised the attack as necessary to stop Iran's nuclear program and protect U.S. national security. But Democrats say President Donald Trump illegally bypassed Congress and didn't have the authority to launch the strikes. Congressman Jason Crow called for congressional oversight in an interview with CNN.
That's the accountability mechanism to make sure that we don't have a president that will get us into a quagmire without the consent of the American people.
Several members of Colorado's Democratic delegation, including Crow, want Congress to vote on a war powers resolution that would require congressional approval for long-term military action. President Trump says operations in Iran could last more than a month.
That was Kyle McKinnon for the Colorado Capital News Alliance. A fifth Colorado child has died from influenza this respiratory viral season, the most in recent years. Here's CPR health reporter John Daly.
A spokesperson with the state health department says the child was under five and from outside the Denver metro area. The state's epidemiologist says it's a tragic reminder flu is not just a routine illness, but a serious disease. Three out of five of Colorado's pediatric deaths have been in children younger than five. Colorado saw a record number of flu hospitalizations around Christmas. Nationally this season, the CDC reports it's recorded 71 pediatric deaths associated with flu. It says about 90% of reported pediatric deaths this season have occurred in children who are not fully vaccinated against the virus. I'm John Daly, CPR News.
And in regional news, new data show the Mountain West is emerging as a national leader in battery storage. Caleb Radel has more.
Last year, the U.S. installed nearly 58 gigawatt hours of battery storage, enough to power almost 2 million homes for a full day. That's the largest single-year build-out on record, and the Mountain West is leading the charge. Five states ranked in the top 10 for battery storage, including Arizona, Nevada, New Mexico, Idaho, and Colorado. Report authors say storage makes renewable energy more reliable, capturing solar power during the day and releasing it when demand peaks in the evening. Joan White with the Solar Energy Industries Association says it's becoming a critical part of the modern grid.
Energy storage helps the grid step into the 21st century. So responding to large loads, including AI and data centers, but also growing consumer demand for EVs and home heating and electrification.
But she warns that federal policy can be a hurdle, and that incentives and permitting will determine how quickly new projects actually get built. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Caleb Radel.
Some members of Congress are kickstarting a process to revoke the blueprint for a national monument in Utah. The Mountain West News Bureau's Rachel Cohen reports on what it could mean for other protected areas in our region.
Last week, Utah Republican Senator Mike Lee introduced a bipartisan Government Accountability Office opinion into the congressional record. It said the resource management plan for the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument is a rule that can be undone by Congress according to a little-known 1996 law. Republicans turned to the law to untangle public lands decisions in Montana and Wyoming last year. But David Feynman with the Conservation Lands Foundation says it's never been applied to a national monument.
If there's any member of Congress who has a problem with any national monument, they would have the precedent to be able to use this tool in this way.
Representative Celeste Malloy from Utah has criticized the monument plan, which was finalized during the Biden administration. It outlines tribal resources and where recreation and grazing are allowed. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Rachel Cohen.
Malloy is expected to introduce a resolution to undo the monuments management plan this week. Her office and Lee's did not respond to a request for comment. Tribes are watching closely as the Trump administration's pick to oversee millions of acres of public land under the Bureau of Land Management moves through the nomination process. For the Mountain West News Bureau, Gabriel Pietrazio has more on what is at stake for national monuments that hold value for tribes.
During his first term, Trump shrank the size of Bears Ears and Grand Staircase Escalante in Utah, only for President Biden to restore them and name 10 new ones. Former New Mexico Congressman Steve Pierce was committed to honoring those sites when asked by California Democratic U.S. Senator Alex Padilla.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Thank you. That's a great answer. Short, clear, concise, and on the record.
The Native Americans sometimes are overlooked from Washington and
not just sometimes, far too often.
We became a voice for them and would continue to do that.
Pierce doubled down when Senator Ruben Gallego asked about Arizona's Baj Nuajo Iktaktut Veni that Biden created near the South Rim in 2023.
In the Grand Canyon, it's one of the most magnificent things, frankly, in the world. So we'll do whatever we can to work with you any way that's necessary.
For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Gabriel Pietrazio.
The Aspen Public Radio newscast is produced by our team. News Director Hallie Zander, reporters Reagan Mertz, Sarah Torrey, Michael Finelli, Sage Smiley, and me, your host, Megan Tackett. Our contributing reporters include Eleanor Bennett and Lucy Peterson. You can listen to the show every weekday morning on our website or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.